Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter. Once while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and a crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there on the shore of the lake. Now the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." Now, when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. And they signaled their partners on the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, you don't work, you don't eat. It's that simple. When I was growing up, half of our family's food came from our garden. Growing up in a small town, my parents worked 3 full-time jobs between them to make ends meet. And still, half of what we lived on came from what we grew ourselves. And if we didn't plant and weed and water, we didn't eat. If we didn't bother to pick and pack and store for winter, we would not have enough. Simple as that. You don't work, you don't eat. But some things were beyond our control. Sometimes we worked and we could not grow enough. Sometimes the weather was too cold to grow much. Sometimes the rains did not come. Sometimes beetles would eat before we did. Sometimes you work and work and still things don't work out. But even so, working so much and gardens failing, we always had enough to eat. Sometimes scarce, but always enough. And that's the way it was with Peter and his partners. Sometimes you work and work for nothing. Morning came and they gave up. Too tired to continue, and dawn approaching, they washed nets, stomachs grumbling, wondering what they would tell the children when there was nothing for breakfast. All night hauling nets, pulling ropes, rowing further, sweating and slipping, working until weary, all to catch nothing. But this is not just about guys fishing for a living, watching from the shore of their families and their children, watching from the shore of their neighbors dependent on the fish. Watching from the shore is the town whose main source of food was their fish. So when they came in exhausted and hungry and frustrated and helpless, the whole town saw, and the whole town was hungry and frustrated and helpless. If they don't catch fish, their children will not eat. If they don't catch fish, their aging parents at home will starve. If they don't catch fish, their neighbors who trade with them will starve. Work and work for nothing. give your heart and soul to the church, faithful every Sunday, take on tasks when asked, do your part in supporting the church, and give your money and give precious hours you could have spent with family, and then someone criticizes. Work and work for nothing. And then Jesus, of all people, comes along. Crowds push in on him, wanting to be close. He speaks of hope and of good news, of release to captives, of liberation from oppressors. And then he demonstrates the good news by casting out demons and curing diseases. So the crowds certainly did press on him, so much so that he nearly pushed him into the lake. And he got into Simon's boat and pushed off a bit so all the crowd on shore could hear. And the sermon ended. And he asked Simon to do a little more fishing. It is at this point that we all face a crisis of faith. It is at this point when God calls us to trust in tangible, material ways that we face a crisis of faith. Exhausted and tired and giving all you can, conscientiously calculating your income for the year, estimating expenses, trying to save a little more for the unexpected, and then God asks you to give more. It is at that moment when you enter a faith crisis. This God we confess we believe in, this God we love hearing who is so kind and welcoming, and this God we turn to in prayer, this God asks us to take one extra step, to step out and test our faith and see if God is for real. See if this God will really come through. Exhausted, Simon wants to go home and get some sleep. You work and work until you just want to go home, and then someone asks a favor. Master, we worked all night. There are no fish. We caught nothing. If you say so, I will let down the nets. So when you look at Christ the King Lutheran Church, do you see challenges and disappointing numbers? And do you see problems without answers? Do you see empty seats and missing friends and glorious times now past? Or when do you look at this church, do you see Jesus? Do you see the Holy Spirit of Jesus doing something miraculous here? Do you see the Spirit of Jesus, loving and teaching children about God's delight in them? The Spirit of Jesus caring and visiting friends and who cannot come to worship? The Spirit of Jesus feeding neighbors and making quilts? Do you see the Spirit of Jesus welcoming without prejudice all who need God, seeking to make right the brokenness of our communities? And so we read, when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. Simon and his partners were so exhausted from a long night's fishing, and now so much they could barely pull. Just dump the fish and go home and sleep. But the town was watching. Neighbors were watching. Hungry children were watching. The riches that come into our lives, the wealth of that many of us achieve and earn and save, the gift of this church building really belongs to the community. Jesus generously gives so that all the town can eat. God generously blesses so that all our neighbors can enjoy. Christ the King Lutheran Church is generously blessed by God, has abundance right here among members like Simon pulling in loaded nets. Or maybe you just see extra work and few people. Do you just see past glory and now it's over? Do you see a one-time high never to be repeated? Or do you see abundance? Do you see Jesus generously giving? Do you see riches and blessings and promise of this church? It's a faith issue. It's a crisis of faith. It's letting go of deep assumptions of what church is supposed to be. It is thinking about church and this place in a different way. Simon broke down and declared his faith. He cried, "He is not worthy of such goodness that he cannot carry out such blessing." And then another matter, a crisis of faith befalls. Wildly successful at fishing, with Jesus by your side, you can do anything. Feeding a whole village at one draw, Jesus tells Simon, "This success is not your future. This glory, the past success of this church, is not your future." And when he finally gets a break, and when finally things are beginning to look up, and when he finally gets back on his financial feet, Jesus tells Peter to leave it all behind. And Jesus calls him to a different future. Jesus gives them a calling in God's mission. And churches also have callings. Every congregation assembled and inspired by the Holy Spirit has a unique place and purpose in God's plans. The community around us, the social environment in which we are placed, the demographic changes and evolving needs and personal life challenges all shape the particular calling of a congregation in a particular time. God's calling for a congregation is to join what God, the Holy Spirit, is already doing among the people and neighborhoods around us. Knowing what to do and what direction to go, knowing what our vision for the future is to be, is not a matter of deciding what we want to do, but a matter of seeing what God is already about and of listening to what God asks us to do. And the problem is, God asks too much. The problem is that when God asks us to do what God asks us to do, it's greater than what we see is in our pledge totals and worship attendance. What God asks of us is more than what is humanly possible. Well, of course, if we could do it on our own, then we don't need God. If all we shoot for is the mediocrity of what we can accomplish by ourselves, then we don't need faith. And we don't need God. But a calling does not have the luxury of individualism and self-sufficiency. A calling is to join what God is doing, casting nets on hopeless waters. We're part of something greater than ourselves and part of something bigger than this congregation of very nice people, part of something only God can do. And it comes down to simple logic. God is bent on redeeming and reconciling this world. God has set out to restore and heal, to make things right, to create anew, to bless, nurture, and thrive. And God, it's simple logic. God cannot fail. It's a simple fact. God cannot, by God's nature, fail. Jesus asked Peter to put out into deep water for a catch of fish. Peter already tried. Peter and his partners toiled all night. Jesus asked the impossible. The fish simply are not there. It's the wrong time of day. It's a waste of time trying. But God cannot fail. God is calling Christ the King Lutheran Church into a blessed future. God is calling this church to be a force of reclaiming and renewing and reconciling. God is calling Christ the King to an impossible venture. And it is at that point we need God. It is at that point we either fish or cut bait. We either cast the nets or walk away. We either trust God or fall back to feeble, ineffective efforts. So in the story, what does Jesus say next? So what does Jesus say to us next? In the story, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." It's what the angel said to Zechariah when he was told Elizabeth in her old age would bear John the Baptist. It's what the angel said to Mary, unmarried young girl. It's what the angel said to the shepherds out in the fields. It is what Jesus says to Peter. And is what God is saying to us at Christ the King. Do not be afraid. Trust what Jesus asks. And be prepared for abundant surprises. Amen.